Why, good day, dear traveler, and welcome to yet another episode of The Vagabond Dilemma, hosted by, well, me, Henry, and my energetic co-host, Rudy. On today's episode, the Italian narrative goes dark as the month of November sets in. We discuss rich sugar daddies from early Africa and ponder on racist mythological creatures, while Rudy has the performance of a lifetime. Without further ado, please enjoy this episode. Oh shit, this is the episode already? Hello! I forget that we start immediately after the clap usually. Hello everybody!
Hello!
Welcome to the Vagabond Dilemma! Welcome to the Vagabond Dilemma, where we explore explorers gone missing.
I wanted to make a ghoulish noise, but yeah, this is... Wait, are we in November?
We are in November. We should be in November.
Should we? I don't like November.
Yeah. I think people that are born in November are kind of the worst, so...
I would actually agree with you.
I think November kind of sucks, huh?
It does, because, like, October is nice. That's the autumn that we all know. Like, cozy, you know, like, pumpkin pies and whatnot. November is just shit before winter.
Yeah, November is like the... Like, December is cool because it's Christmas and, like, the countdown to Christmas... November is really just like a big fuck you to everybody, basically.
So fuck November. This is our 2 minutes in the episode. This is where we at. Fuck November.
Honestly, I didn't even know I felt this way until we just discussed it. November really does kind of suck. But, well, I guess we have to deal with it sometimes.
Huh? Truly. But you know what?
Yeah?
I have something to talk about.
Okay.
So, you know... All of us born in different months have our signs, you know?
Yes.
And we all know those stories about some people reading way too much in those, right?
Okay.
And I love to go down those rabbit holes of, like, how much people actually go crazy about them, right?
Okay.
So I do follow on Instagram one profile that, like, if you're a Sagittarius, this, this, and that, you know, that kind of shit. Because sometimes, like, it's so funny how wrong they get it.
Right.
But then once in a while, I guess purely because of statistics somehow,
yes,
they get something like what I would call like literally on point, right?
Right.
But then sometimes it is very coincidentally way too much on point, I would say. So like I pulled up this one Instagram post that I wanted to, because I want to check this. Because first of all, let's hear about me. Because okay, so you know. I love space, right? Henry,
yes.
My friend. I can't shut about because, like, space is so cool, honestly. Can I just rant about space? Okay, I'm not gonna.
Yeah,
that's
space is
fine,
cool.
Henry. I won't.
When are we gonna have our first space explorer on this podcast?
I would love to do an episode like that. You know what? I'm gonna note that down.
Go ahead, Kane.
Well, anyways, this specific post is what? Because it basically names three things, right?
Yes.
And they're kind of very eerily on point. So the post is what the signs are made of. And it's supposed to be some, like, I don't know, inspirational bullshit or something. And for Sagittarius, which is me, it says a sailor's compass, the stars, and a black hole in the galaxy. And I was like, is this manifesting my love for space and the Vagabond Dilemma? But why I want to check is, can you tell me your sign?
Leo.
Let's see. Leo. Okay.
I don't like this laughing beforehand, but go on.
We're back at square one where I've called this all bullshit. Leo, wizard's magic, divination, and rose quartz.
Yeah, I don't really vibe. I don't even know what rose quartz is, but the rest of that shit is definitely not on point.
Henry, you made the wizard magic.
I fucking hate magic stuff. Alright, let's see. Rose quartz.
Not a stone, like quartz.
Quartz? It's a Latvian stone?
Q-U-R-R-T-S.
Sorry, again?
Q-U-A-R-T-S.
Q-U-A-R-I-T-S? What?
Without the I. What did you
RTS?
Get that? RTS.
That's exactly what I typed, you sick fuck.
I thought you were like a quartz, like, you know, the metal, not the metal, but the...
The stone.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what quartz... shows up as well when I type this, by the way.
Oh. But... Well, because quartz is spelled with a Z at the end.
Yeah, but you said with an S, right?
Yes.
So I did it with an S.
Also, can I just go, this episode, you know, with November, comes my grumpy mood, the grumpy road, it comes out of the woods. And I'm taking on offensive today. Italians, if you don't hang out with me, next time I see any of you, I will take a Hawaii pizza, yes, pineapple on pizza.
That's good.
It also will be made, instead of tomato sauce, it will be with ketchup. And I'm going to violently eat it in front of you.
That's disgusting.
But it
Shame
will kill
on you.
Them.
I think you're going to be sitting there puking and they're going to be like, who the fuck is this asshole? Bye.
Fuck. No, then I will do this, but not eat the pizza, but send it to you.
Yeah.
For every day of the week, I'm going to deliver this pizza to your house.
Yeah, see, now we're talking. Now we're cooking with gas.
No, 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 even better. I'm going to do, like, shambolic Mario expressions in front of you.
Well, that's just funny.
It's me, Mario, woohoo!
Yeah, say something in an Italian accent, Rudy.
Give me a prompt.
I don't know. I like this pizza with meatballs.
I like this pizza with the meatballs.
There you go. It's not too bad. That sounded very Italian of you.
Thank you.
Also, I gotta say, with the way, like, the structure that we record this podcast, what just happened was kind of funny.
Why?
Like, because we, for anybody that doesn't know, we... record two episodes back to back, basically.
Oh yeah. That is ironic. It's actually from the last episode where I loved Italians. It's post like 40 minutes.
Yes. But there you go. You just pretend that Rudy thought about this for like a week.
Yes, right,
he
exactly.
was stewing for a week, and now he's Italians. Go fuck yourself, is what he's saying. Pretty fucked up, actually. That you kind of
no,
or
go fuck.
Huh?
I'm gonna mute Dan there so they don't know who to fuck.
Huh?
Huh?
Okay. Well.
Shall we move into the episode?
Shall we? Did I do the introduction? I don't remember.
I'm Rudy, your Henry Vagabond Dilemma. You found us nice.
Oh, I actually didn't do that. Hey, everybody. It's the Vagabond Dilemma with, well, me, Henry, and my dashing co-host, Rudy. And we are here to talk about, well... missing explorers. Where did they go? What did they do? Can we find out? What am I having for dinner tonight? All pertinent questions today.
Also, I'm going to remind you now, you did actually introduce this.
All right. To everybody listening, I sincerely apologize for my actions.
We have actually 3 introductions in one episode. Let's go.
Let's
this is November's
4.
Fault. This is because we're in November now.
Holy shit, November really throwing a spanner into the works. I can't believe it.
Honestly.
I'm dazed and confused ever since we started recording this episode. Did I do the introduction already? Hello everybody, welcome to the Vagabond Dilemma.
Alright, but let's move to some better parts. Because in November, Netherlands, it kind of sucks. So let's move to some, you know, other eras or maybe some other parts of the world, eh?
Okay.
Hit right. Me with it. Yeah.
Can
I'm gonna
can
hit
I
you
guess?
With it. You know what I'm gonna hit you with? I'm gonna hit you with the start of the 14th century. That's right.
Jeez, that's a very long time ago.
Yeah. Exactly. It's been a while, hey.
It really has been. So go ahead. I'm interested to see where this goes.
Okay. The part I'm gonna specifically talk about is the transition from the medieval warm period to the Little Ice Age, because that tells so much about this, right?
Okay.
Okay. To put it in a better scale, if there's a history fan out there listening to us, it's the beginning of the Ottoman Empire.
Yay!
Yes. Or, if you're not from around that part, I can give you another one. 1337, the Aztecs founded the city of Tenochtitlan. Or whatever you pronounce it.
So those are the two major happenings at the time?
No. I mean, okay, I'm going to ask you. What happened in the middle of the 14th century in Europe?
I
There's a big really thing that happened.
The big plague? Thing. I don't know.
Yes, Black Death kills almost half of Europe.
Oh no. Little baby's gonna cry.
Bruh. Okay, another quiz then. A bit better. What very known city in the world emerges also somewhere around that period? It's a very well-known city, and I might also say it's a city-state.
A city-state? In Europe?
Mm.
Not in Europe.
Oh, I'm not giving you a specific
continent. In the world, is it still around today?
Yes. And it's doing pretty well.
I have no clue. I mean,
but think about it.
City-state, the Vatican.
Okay, I'm gonna be honest. I don't know. I think it's a city-state, but I honestly, people talk about it as just a single city.
Go ahead.
Singapore.
Okay, yeah. Well, actually, I did think Singapore, but I didn't think Singapore would be relevant to today's
Singapore
story,
emerges
so.
For the first time as a fortified trading city somewhere right. around that era. Didn't get an exact date because fuck Singapore.
That's
no, actually, I would love
up.
To go. Please, Singapore, let me in.
Yeah, Singapore is one of my favorite destinations that I want to go.
But you know what else happened
future.
In my favorite part of the world?
In Italy?
Yes. Later on is the beginning of Renaissance.
Renaissance. Why would you say that in a French accent?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Is it? Wait, isn't it a French word? Renaissance? Is that Italian?
It must be, right?
Is it? It sounds very French.
Maybe Latin?
Maybe. I think it's French. Yeah. Okay, let's find this out right now. Is Renaissance a French word? Question mark?
So.
Yes, it is French. Thank you very much. Italians get original right now. Cringe. All right, go ahead, Rudy.
Okay, but I talked about, you know, most of the parts in Europe. Europe's not a great place to be because freaking, you know, plague. Asia's doing its own thing. Trading cities emerging. Aztecs vibing. Big city. Yo, yo, yo. Luckily for us, we don't care about all of that. You know where we're going? To Africa.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah, and at that time, there's one region that is engraved in history till this day. And can you guess the region we're going to?
Oh boy. I want to say Morocco?
No.
Egypt, of course.
No.
Alright, then you just made a fool out of me, you sick fuck. if it's not Tunis?
No.
Oh, the Sahara?
No. It's already
what the
your
fuck
fifth
is wrong
guess.
With you? Alright, we're just gonna go country by country.
It's not
Mauritania?
No, no. Actually, it is a country.
Senegal?
No.
Gambia?
No.
They give me a hint, at least.
Wealthiest regions of that time.
What? As if I would know that.
Actually, I would. Honestly, I think this is a pretty cool fact, because I wouldn't know that. Okay, I give you a hint. Civilization 6 actually has that leader, like the game.
My brother in Christ, I never played Civilization 6.
Well, suck to suck, doesn't it?
Alright. South Africa.
No.
Nigeria.
No.
Ghana.
No.
Ethiopia.
No. You're really going a roundabout way about this.
Yeah, I'm just picking which ones I think. I don't know. That's literally all I would guess, to be honest.
Go more west.
Oh, Mali?
Yes, the Mali Empire.
Right, now I remember.
The Mali Empire, truly an empire, might I add, of that age.
Right.
And so that's the setting. And let me talk a bit about the empire itself, for those who don't know. That at one point, the empire was the biggest unified region in West Africa, and undoubtedly the richest. Ya boys were rich. I'm talking like sugar daddies having sugar daddies.
I remember a story I read once of the, like, Emperor of Mali. Just traveling around with, like, his boatloads of money.
Lucky for you, we're gonna discuss him today.
Sheesh. Well, there you go. Yeah, so Mali's still exists nowadays, by the way, for anybody wondering.
Yes.
In West Africa, but not quite as large.
Yes, and also, I think I'm not sure, but I think in one of my research websites, they refer to them as a state, not a country.
Isn't that the same thing? What's the difference?
Oh, for some reason in my head it's just a state, or like, you know, kind of a USA state. I was like, that kind of thing, but in Africa, oh. I was like, I didn't know they have that.
No. I'm pretty sure state can also just mean country.
Then I just made a fool out of myself and we move on.
It's definitely a country, let's put it that way.
Yeah. And, okay, so the Mali Empire is, well, it's ruled by a monarchy. Do you know how were kings called in Empire of Mali?
I don't.
I'll probably tell you and you'll definitely, like, you know this. So, instead of using the word king, it's till this day, they use the word Mansa.
Okay.
And for people who know something of history, and also the dude that you mentioned earlier, the most known, it's not an emperor, the most known Mansa is Mansa Musa from Mali Empire.
All right.
But a little bit about, and you're going to help me with this a bit. So the empire's length, let's say, because the scale is way too big for me to describe all four corners. So the empire stretched from the western coast of nowadays Senegal and Gambia.
Right.
Then we go towards inland, following the route of the which is the river? Niger River?
Yes.
Niger River, yes, okay. And thus encompassing most of the central nowadays state of Mali, but not like the edges of it, not like the southern and northern edges.
So not like up till Nigeria. It stopped before that.
Yes.
Then is it the river Niger then?
Sorry?
Is it the river Niger then?
Yes, it is. It is.
Okay.
So basically it encompasses a large part of Western Africa.
Yes, very big.
Okay. Biggest cities, some also might want this trivia fact, was the legendary Timbuktu, or Gao, or Djenne, or Kumbay Saleh.
Actually, I
research pronunciation of this, by the way.
Good job. He did better than I did in the first episode then. I don't know if this is relatable to you, but I feel like in my childhood, when I lived in Belgium, anytime it was about like an African city or like in comics when they were going to like Africa, it was always something with Timbuktu.
Yes. Because for whatever reason, that name was engraved in cartoons and like stories. I remember that, yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it was a big historical city, right? So
must have been. I didn't research that much about the city itself, so it must have been, yes.
I think it's kind of small nowadays.
Well, it's not New York, probably.
No, okay, but like, it's very desert inlandish.
Yeah.
50,000 people.
Well, not small, but yeah, it's quite small.
Well, that's very small if you think this is
a fuck off.
A major historic location.
Let's talk about the dude that everybody has been dying to know about definitely in this day and age.
Yes, let's.
So most known man from that age, Mansa Musa. Who is the 10th Mansa of the Mali Empire. He's still sometimes referred to, till this day, as the wealthiest man of all time. And okay. Can you guess, because it's very disputed, because there's no, like, at that time, they didn't keep the money accountants, like, as up-to-date as we do now. So it's actually impossible to estimate how rich he actually was. But a lot of websites, there is an estimate. And can you guess what that estimate is in US dollars nowadays?
I mean, nowadays, US dollars? And he is still said to be the richest man alive.
A lot of people dispute that, but a lot of people say that still, yes. So he's quite rich. We're talking about really rich.
I mean, it has to be like $300 billion then if it's going to be that kind of claim.
You know what? You're actually pretty close. 400 billion US dollars.
There you go.
That's so much gold, because his money didn't fold. It actually jiggled. And like,
shut up.
Because they didn't have paper money back then, right? So imagine how much gold coins he had.
Right.
And yeah,
I mean, yeah. That, I don't know, I feel like that's not even, that's not really quantifiable when it's that old. I don't know. I think this is rightfully disputed. As a notable historian myself, I think this is rightfully disputed. But yeah, right, he was definitely right. a rich man, let's put it that way.
Yeah. But yeah, so as you already mentioned before, he was known for his gift-giving nature and travels.
Yes.
And also, well, although he was a gift giver and whatnot, he actually more so sprayed chaos than actual, you know, good stuff with his money. In a sense of, like, I believe it was, like, from good nature, or, like, at least the equivalent of that in that time. But, for example, one of the most known stories is, it is believed that he destabilized the whole economy of Egypt for more than a decade due to his lavish donating of gold.
That's kind of based, to be honest.
He literally, like, gave them so much gold as a gift that their own gold lost value.
I love that for Mansa Musa.
But there's a twist to this story. Because, let me pitch you this. It's Egypt, Cairo. It's a lovely evening. You know, aristocrats, officials talking with each other. Mansa Musa in the middle, center of attention. He's like, oh yes, I have stories from all over the world. I'm so rich, I know everything.
Yes, classic African accent.
You, as an Egyptian official, come up, and then he's like, yo, there is this story, not about me, but about the guy before me. The story goes that he believed that there's an end to the Atlantic Ocean. Or rather, that there is something on the other side. It can't go on forever.
Right.
And he truly believed that it is within his timeline on this earth that we can do this. We can actually go there and map it and maybe do some trading, right? And so he went. And then he went missing.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know he went for that.
That is the guy that we are today interested in. And this is also, it's kind of a weird story because apparently records of this guy are not, they were not very well kept. And it is actually disputed, not about if he existed or not, because it's definitely known that he existed and embarked on this trip. But it is disputed about his name. They're basically till this day they're disputing who from, like, because they have records of, like, the whole line of the Mansas, right? But it is disputed sometimes which one of the Mansas before Mansa Musa is the one that did this.
Oh,
as in, like,
wait, so they don't know if it's really Mansa Musa that went for it?
No. They do know that it's not Mansa Musa. It's the guy before him. But so we are interested in the guy that was Mansa before Mansa Musa, right?
Right.
And truthfully speaking, the identity of this predecessor has been sometimes disputed. Historians never really mention his name at the time for whatever reason, or they're just those scrolls are still lost or something. Some say that it was Mansa Ku. Some say that it was the Abu Bakr II.
I feel like I've heard that name before, actually.
And most refer to him as, like, most historians believe it's the Abu Bakr. But there's, like, the thing is, apparently, like, they can't 100% claim it. As in, like, there's still some facts that don't necessarily align sometimes. And it's hard to tell at that age and time if it's because, like, it's just not very well kept records or something's just, you know, like, it's not him.
There's trickery afoot.
Yeah, so, but we, for this episode, will stick to Abu.
Okay. So, I'm not gonna lie, I'm kinda lost then where Mansa Musa slots into this.
I will tell you why. Because this story, this whole thing, originates from Mansa Musa. Because he's the one, like, with the idea that I just pitched you with the Egyptian official, that's exactly how this story actually was first noted down.
Right.
And it maybe would not have been known if not for Mansa Musa just talking about this guy like this, and then people actually started, you know, researching him. And
wait, so Mansa Musa mentioned that this had already happened. Been tried? Oh.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to tell. It's the guy before him, the Mansa before Mansa, the king before this king, which is Musa.
Yes.
And so allegedly, Mansa Musa became Mansa because that guy never returned.
Right.
But okay, so I'm going to talk about the trip, right? Because an exact date is simply not known, yet because of this story, speculations and historic findings deduct that it must have happened shortly before 1312, which is the year when Mansa Musa is inferred to become Mansa.
Right.
So it must have been before then.
Of course. Makes sense.
Yes. And so most known account of the tale also comes from Mansa Musa, as I said, and I will just, in short, tell you what he said as the story that evening. So the king before me did not believe that it was impossible to discover the furthest limit of the Atlantic Ocean and vehemently wished to do so. So that king was like really obsessed with the other end of the Atlantic Ocean for whatever reason.
Right.
And so he equipped 200 ships and told the leading man to not return until the supplies run out. And after a while, only one ship returns and reports that they had found a strong current. Well, they say it's a river in the sea, but deducted current. Right. And all but that ship who returned followed, and nobody knows what became of them. So 199 ships, gone, whatever, nobody knows. But the king did not believe that, and thus equipped 2,000 ships and sailed into the ocean to do the job himself, never to be seen again. And that's where we start our mysterious dilemma investigation.
Interesting.
Quite.
I didn't know they had that big navies back then. I thought that was kind of later.
We're talking about the fucking sugar daddy of the old times.
Yeah, but still. I don't know. Interesting.
Quite.
I think... Here's what I think. So Mansa Musa became Mansa after the 2,000 ships left and never came back, right?
Yes, allegedly.
All right, it was all a ploy to inherit the riches and become Mansa. So here's what happened, right?
Yep.
The king orders the search operation for, like, across the Atlantic, right? Mansa Musa, back then known as just Musa, gets in cahoots with, like, the captain of that operation, being like, hey, all right, this is what we're going to do. You guys are going to sail out to sea. You're going to get send one person or one boat back. That boat's going to be like, I don't know, they're just gone. And then the king's going to be not happy with that answer. And he's going to, you know, he's very curious. He wants to find that land. He's going to go after it himself, right? So he sends the entire fucking navy there. And then they ambush them. And because of their superior flanking tactics or something, managed to sink the entire operation of the king.
2,000 ships.
Yes. Well, they were very skilled in navy war. They had a lot of time to practice before Mansa, whoever it was before him, came out.
But they're the same people of Mali. Wouldn't it be the same skill level?
Yeah, but they weren't they were like sleeping. You know, they were like, oh, nothing's going to happen here. And then it was like, holy shit, something's happening.
All 2,000 ships sleeping.
Yes, they were all asleep. They were all just having a good... Maybe they were passed out because of the sunlight, you know, the heat stroke, you know?
They calculated when those dumbasses will get a sunstroke and they were like, attack now!
Exactly. Or maybe, I don't know, they were distracted. Somebody tapped the Abu Bakr. What was it? Abu Bakr was the name?
Yeah, Abu Bakr.
Yeah, he was tapped on the shoulder right as they were about to attack. He was like, huh? And then that was enough of a distraction to get everybody killed. And then the 200 ships, or whatever was left of them, they sailed onto Brazil, right? And then Mansa Musa was like, well, I guess they're not coming back. Hey, I guess it's my turn. There you go.
And child, anyways, guys, I became a king. Ah, don't clap. It's just a coincidence. But I just imagine you said, like, the tap on the shoulder, right?
Yes.
So I just imagine this guy, like, taps him on the shoulder, he turns around, and immediately a cannonball just fucking takes him out.
I mean, I have to question, you say 2,000 ships, what kind of ships are we talking about here? Is it, like, 2,000 rowboats?
if they want to cross the Atlantic, I would think it's, well, ships, yeah. Like, not like, you know, like, gallops.
Yeah, but it's just like, I really don't have a picture. I'm looking it up right now.
Must be some sort of galleys, you know?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, okay, it looks like galleys, based on what I'm seeing here. It's kind of hard to picture for me what kind of technology they had back then, because I really, you know, this is a region you don't often
hear
about.
They're rich, he pulled up on a Tesla.
Maybe that's why he didn't make it, because he just straight up sunk to the bottom of the ocean instantly.
They went all across the ocean with horses. Yo, it all comes together. I know exactly what happened. You heard of Atlantis, right?
Right. Oh, God.
So they found Atlantis, right? But those dumbasses were like, yo, the trade, all the, like, the money we could get from this. But Atlantis was, like, ruled by, I don't know, some precursor of Poseidon or Poseidon himself. They're like, fuck off? The fuck? Excuse me? And then Poseidon just goes to his, like, advisors, like, okay, dude, you told me that, like, when I was gonna do this city type here, right, those people from land, they're not gonna find us. Because we are talking about the first, you know, pre-Columbian voyages across the Atlantic Ocean, allegedly, right?
Right. That's what Poseidon also cited while saying this.
Yeah, exactly. And then Poseidon just goes, well, homie, obviously you were wrong. What the fuck are these dudes doing with 2,000 ships in front of my doorstep? Huh? So yeah. He was just like, he goes to the center of the city, you know, unplugs the big cork, and down goes the Atlantis. And in its wake, a maelstrom, you know, happens, and all 2,000 ships.
They all fall to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, so basically they sunk Atlantis, indirectly.
That was quite a strong current indeed. Then.
I mean, imagine a whole city and then there's a hole in it. The water is like, oh fuck, look at that free real estate, let's go!
I mean, wait, in this case, Atlantis is situated where exactly?
I think...
Because if it's just on the top of the ocean, then just opening a hole in the middle doesn't really do much, right?
No, think about the industry, the architecture. You're an architect, right? They probably had, like, it was placed on top of a hill, which is like a big mechanism that you could just pull down. And imagine, like, the whole continent going down.
Okay, I don't know. Yeah, I guess. I still can't really imagine that, but...
Or Nessie found them.
Nessie really went for a fucking trip there, huh?
For those who don't know, we're talking about the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, because Nessie's supposed to be, what, in Scotland somewhere?
Yeah, but isn't that the story that there's a tunnel going out into the sea, and that's why it's like the monster vanishes for like a couple of years and then comes back to Loch Ness? Maybe it's a nesting ground.
It's pretty fucked. That kind of makes Nessie a bit racist then, I'm not gonna lie.
What?
Because Nessie fucks with the Mali colonization, but when Christopher Columbus goes out to kill all the natives, Nessie's like, go ahead, king. Go get him, champ. That's pretty fucked up.
I didn't think of it that way.
At least be equal in killing everybody that's going out to sea.
But that's like centuries later, so maybe it's already the period of incubation and grounding, and she's actually in Loch Ness at the moment.
Yeah, that's what the xenophobes want you to think, Rudy. Don't believe them.
Oh, goddamn. Any other theories from you?
I mean, a quite grounded theory would be that, let's say, if they just make it to Brazil, maybe they just don't come back. What if they just like it more there?
Oh, shit. Thoughts? Maybe they were the first pirates. Or maybe they got killed by the first pirates.
There you go. When were the pirates... when were they active?
Pirates were active when British Navy was fucking about Caribbean.
Right. So in this theory, they found the Caribbean, they settled down, they were like, holy shit, it's kind of nice here. Huh? And then the British came about it, and was like, why I oughta? And then they stepped back on the ships and...
Yarr!
Yarr! Oi, you British!
Oh, what about Moby Dick?
Who?
You don't know the legend of the white killer whale?
I know the name. I don't know actually the story at all.
It's a big dick floating around the ocean. They call him Moby.
That's I would be scared of that as well.
No, actually, don't ever watch the movie. I read the book, because the book is actually not about the fucking monstrous whale that I thought it is. Because I was like, oh, cool, monster, let's watch the movie. It's not about that. Please don't watch it.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. What is it about that? Sorry, I have the hiccups now, suddenly.
Men surviving at sea and eating each other.
Cringe. Where's my massive Moby Dick?
You know, actually...
Well, they actually, that's a theory as well, huh? They just all ate each other. And then...
But they had, like, a lot of supplies because they were rich. Do you think they would...
From the first group of 200, it was just a battle royale.
This is the origin story of Squid Games. On the sea. Because you can't go anywhere else.
Right. They just grouped all the ships together and held massive games there. And one ship was allowed to survive and go back.
Or maybe they were a party crew and they went there and they're like, fuck it. Like, because, you know, back in the Empire with the Mansa Musa now breathing on our necks, that guy just wants all the attention to himself. Like, we want festivals. He's like, but it's gonna be festivals with my name. I'm like, I don't want that. So this is actually an origin story of the Rio de Janeiro festival.
Yeah.
They just, like, you know, went to the Caribbean and they're like, everybody can. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta.
I like that. I love that for them, actually.
Actually, I have a bit for that. Funny you should mention that.
Okay.
Okay.
This is the bit that was allegedly prepped with much care, by the way, so...
Yeah. But I want you to promise me something, though. I'm gonna tell you a story in a special form, okay?
Okay.
And I want you to hear till the very end and then applaud for me, because I need my validation.
So this whole bit is you telling a story and I'm just applauding afterwards.
But you will see how I tell the story. It's not your average story.
Okay. I will clap and I will compliment you.
Okay.
Regardless of how good or bad
it is. By the way, the story, the perspective of the story, the POV, is from the one dude who returned and told the story after the 200 ships, right?
Okay.
So, yeah. Let's go.
Woo! That was great.
Yeah. Fucking. Okay. Because you have to shut up. Right?
Okay, I will be quiet.
Because for post-production, this will
be
even better.
Sorry. When should I now? Sorry?
Okay, I'm going.
Like, when do I have to stop talking?
Stop talking now.
I'm not
now.
Quite clear on... Okay.
For fuck's sake.
Now?
Henry! It's really hard to execute what I'm about to do, so please.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, so this dude comes up, right? To the king who's about to go into the ocean, right? And he's like... The king is like, oh! You returned, my boy! What happened? And the guy's like, well, let's start from the beginning, right? Listen, here's the deal. Life's too boring for you. And to see, departed he. 1, 2, 3, 4 years later, a lad told me. We went sailing in to see quite a jolly crew indeed. And then our boat suddenly went flying at enormous speed. At first we thought, hey, what a day this will be, our first hooray. But little did we know about the things waiting outside the bay. Fucking Kraken was the first thing we saw. Half their fleet went in that asshole giant maw. Shit, fuck, Father Christ is all that I could say today. We can't sail back, cause that fucker's in the whale. Bail, run, swim, row, flee, scream. Everybody get your oars, we're going on ocean tours. Then we all saw this big shark, we think it ate Mark. So all we did was run. And we found out that Rico likes to eat humans. So all we did was kill. Next, Richie caught the scurvy, looking topsy-turvy, so we let him die. Then, Matthew fucked Trevor, but that was just a rumor. All we heard was clap. And if you think that this tale meets its end here, let me be very clear. I wish I killed myself that year, cause the things that happened next left me really perplexed. Could this be? Can't you see? Birds, bombs, sand, crabs, and what the hell are those people? Everybody can! Oh shit, oh gosh, oh mama, I really miss my papa. These folks wanna eat me. Then we ran in the jungle, Linda had a tumble, and we left her as the bait. Next, Maggie ate some berries and started seeing fairies. Basically got high. Then George was mauled by a monkey. Corpse looked kind of funky. And so this is what we saw at the world's end. I really cannot recommend. Stop, truly, it's quite unruly. Don't be folly and die so dumbly. Where's the lad who sent us there? He himself doesn't know where. Oh, it's truly a misery. Not worthy of a victory. All I got is a mental goddamn injury.
Whoo! Well, 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 King. You fucking wrote a whole song for this?
Yes. And you know what's the funniest bit? I actually was, like, for me to easier to sing this, I was, because I'm going to add it to the post-production, but I was listening to, you know, the song, the Can-Can, but it stopped midway, yes. So I had to go through with it without the music.
I think you pulled through, right?
Oh.
There you go. I don't have much to say to that.
This is that was the original story, you know, that's the resolution.
This is how, what was it, what was it, Mansa Musa? This is how he tried to tell it as well, in Egypt. It just kind of poorly translated in scripts that are over 700 years old.
Okay, do you want to go to the actual speculations?
Yes, let me know the resolution.
Yeah, I must say I have put in brackets that, like, yeah, it's speculations, but in reality it's more than a legacy, not actual speculations, because no uncontroversial evidence has ever been found that would suggest that pre-Columbian contact between Africa and the Americas happened. It's always something that they're like dispute later on.
Right.
The river of the sea that they mentioned is presumed to be the Canary Current, which is following the east side of the Atlantic Ocean stretching from northwest Europe to West Africa. And it basically, like, you know, all currents is a circle, so that's the part of the that goes, like, across the east side of Atlantic, and then later on goes into the current that would actually do take them to the Americas. But, well...
Okay.
And, yeah, some historians believe that they reached the New World, however no lasting trade evidence has ever been found. But I must say here, it has been known that white historians of certain times rewrote history as, according to some accounts from indigenous people, they did meet black travelers with metal spears and gold coming from the ocean.
Huh.
So, like, really disputed till this day, but honestly, I'm gonna side with the indigenous people on this one. I do believe that, like, because imagine, 2,000 ships is a big fleet. Some of them must have reached some shores.
I imagine so, yeah. It's just, I mean, the thing is, shouldn't there be, like, DNA evidence somehow that they could trace back nowadays?
Oh, I don't know. It's, like, what, 700 years? Truly, I don't know, because, like, I was researching it, and, like, all the sources that I found say that, like, that this is not 100% true, like, as I said, disputed till this day.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know. Interesting, though. It's a quite interesting tale. I kind of forgot that this was a thing that happened.
Yeah, I am a big fan of, like, you're like big African cultures, like the empires and stuff, but we don't get taught that in Europe, really, apart from Egypt.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty normal. You only really learn mostly about major historical stuff, like,
but, like, even like from Egypt. That perspective, Mali Empire was fucking humongous.
Yeah, but they didn't do shit except for flaunter wealth. No, but also, like, how much do you learn about America in school? Also not that much, right? At least speaking for myself, we didn't, like, have a lot of information. We didn't learn a lot about the U.S.
Well,
so
fuck the educational system, huh?
Okay. Interesting take.
Am I the only one standing here? Okay, bye.
I think we should learn everything from Wikipedia.
Well.
And it should be my choice which pages I choose to learn.
Italians?
No. Italians be gone. I hope that by next week's episode we can shut off Italians for good.
The Italians, you were... Oh wait, this is the hard episode. Fuck you, Italians. If you don't pay attention to me, God help you.
In December is the reconciliation episode.
I'm a nice guy, so you be nice to me, I'll be nice to you. If not, wahoo!
Is there anybody you want to dedicate this episode to?
Hawaiian pizza?
I don't know. I want to dedicate this episode to anti-racism.
Yo, that's a good one.
I think if you're gonna kill colonialists, make sure it's all colonialists.
Yeah, I guess. I want to dedicate this episode to Richie who got the scurvy.
Richie, if you die of scurvy, you're kind of cringe, so...
At least you made it my song, eh?
True. Where was I? I should go die of scurvy as well next time.
Alright. And on that good note...
Rudy, do you want to do the plugs for today?
Oh, I'm a plug something, you know, right? if you have any... any recommendations or just want to check up on us, which we would appreciate very much because we're very lonely up in this bit, go to Twitter.
Be for yourself.
Go to our Twitter, which is @VagabondDilemma. I think there's a D in front of it, maybe.
Yes. It's well, you'll find it either way.
Anyways, yes, it's quite the name, so you'll find it either way. If you really, really have something to say, like, you know, you can't fill it in with just a tweet, then... contact us through our Gmail, which is also thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com. Drop a like and a follow for me in my 000RUDYS000 in Insta, which is 3 zeros. Rude is 3 zeros for you, just. Am I forgetting something?
I don't know. If there's a rating system on your podcast network, drop us a good rating.
I try to remind on my social medias, but I actually should mention this more in the episodes. We are here every Wednesday.
Yes, true.
Every Wednesday we are here for you to shit on, cry with, or laugh about. Whichever you prefer.
Right. The big three.
The big three, indeed.
Alright. That's it then, yeah, that's it.
And with that, let's see you, you can hear us, in the next episode. Ciao!
Bye!